This first song is called Say Amen, and don't be afraid to say amen. If you feel it coming on, just let her rip. Would y'all stand up and worship with us?
This life is a journey we walk by faith. There will always be the mountains in our way. But right here in this moment, may our strength be renewed as we recall what God has done and how we've seen Him move. And if there's anybody here who's found Him faithful, anybody here who knows He's able, say amen. And if there's anybody here who's seen His power, anybody here brought through the fire, amen. Anybody here found joy in the middle of sorrow? Just say amen. Sometimes through the darkness it's hard to see, so just be brave and follow where He leads. Because greater is the one who's in us than he who's in the world. So child of God, remember the battle is the Lord's. And if there's anybody here who's found Him faithful, anybody here who knows He's able, say amen. And if there's anybody here who's seen His power, anybody here brought through the fire, say amen. Anybody here found joy in the middle of sorrow, peace in the storm, hope for tomorrow. We've seen it time and time again. Just say amen. Even in the valley of the shadow, when you feel alone in the unknown, just say amen. Storms are raging, stand and know you're not forsaken. Just say amen, say amen. Is there anybody here? Tell me, is there anybody here? Come on and say amen. And if there's anybody here who's seen His power, anybody here brought through, say amen.
Take a moment to greet someone next to you. Shake their hand, give them a hug, fist bump, whatever.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Cornerstone. You guys can have a seat. We're glad you're here this morning. We're in a series called Getting Past Your Past, and this is the third week, and already we've seen God do some great things in helping us talk about and deal with and move past some of the things that have happened to us, some of the things that we've done in our past, and this morning is just going to be an incredible morning. So I am so glad you are here. Couple of things. One, if you're visiting with us, we'd ask that you'd fill out a communication card. You can find those in the seat in front of you. Secondly, if you came in on the back side here, the front side, whatever you call it, the main entrance here, you notice a couple of touchscreen kind of kiosks over there where you can like sign up. We've had so many sign up sheets. So we're trying to consolidate everything. So you can sign up on the computer screen. Jennifer's signing up for something now. So she's embarrass her. So you can sign up for all sorts of stuff over there. So a lot of this stuff is over there. Couple of things on your announcement sheet here just to make you aware of. The information about the angel tree is on here when the gifts are due back, and we are out of those now. And we may do a few things to pick up a few more, so we'll let you know about that next week. We have our Thanksgiving community meal this Wednesday night. And so that we're still needing some help to bring things for that. And why don't, Nicole, where are you at? Nicole, why don't you come up and you can use one of these mics and you can share a little bit about the community meal and what you need and how we can help with that.
I just wanted to just say something about the meals really quick because, you know, we've been doing them for about a year and a half now, and it's a lot of work, and it takes a lot of commitment from a lot of the people in the church, but I just wanted to share a little story about how these meals are touching our community, because I think it's important for people to know. I think what's the great thing about our meal is that we all come and eat together. Like, it's the people in our community, it's people from other churches, and it's a great night of fellowship. And what happens through that is we're able to form relationships with people. And there's been these three little girls that have been coming to the meals since we started. And the mothers never come inside. And I told my husband I'm already thinking I'm going to cry, and I was just sitting there. A couple, not this past meal, but the meal before, she finally had come in. And it was the first time ever that she had come into our meals. And it was because through only what I can say are acts of God, she was looking for an apartment or a house because she'd been living in a hotel for a year. And I felt so bad because I was trying to help her find somewhere, and I couldn't. I was calling around, and then, don't you know, she calls me and tells me she got a place, and it's Bonnie and Travis's old house. Okay, and I was trying to find her a place, and I couldn't. And the next thing I know, she's can't find her pay her electric bill. And then I find out that that's being taken care of. And then next thing I know, she needs her water turned on. And I send out an email, and some of my friends went down and paid. And it's just been one thing after another. And she said to me, I can't believe people are being so nice to me. People that don't even know me, I don't even know my story, are being nice to me. And I was able to tell her, you know, everyone's deserving of God's grace and this and that, and able to have that conversation with her. And then that meal, she felt comfortable enough to come up. And it was so crowded downstairs. There was not one seat left downstairs. And she came up here and ate here. And just this morning, she sent me a message, and we were talking about she still needed beds. And I was able to share with her about a little bit about my testimony, my husband's testimony, and the rough roads we've had, and tell her that she was deserving of God's grace too. And I think that's a good reminder of what these meals do. They allow us to form relationships that you don't know when you're going to be able to share God's love outside of these meals. It's not necessarily going to happen at the meal all the time, but this opens the gates for when you're at Walmart or at the library or at stores. And I just think there's so much has been coming out of these meals and out of the ministries. And Randy even helped her move. She called Randy and didn't even, it's just been the seeing God's hand move in this has just been amazing and overwhelming for me. And another thing is, I'm always stressed out about the meals and there not being enough food. And the other morning there was no one signed up, by the way, the other morning. And I just sat there at my computer. I'm like, please, God, lay it on some people's hearts to sign up for this meal and let us be able to provide. We serve 400 people. And Mike will tell you, my messenger on Facebook started going off. Like every 5 seconds, someone at 7 a.m. in the morning was telling me that they could bring food. And I didn't even send out a message. I was just sitting there at my computer. And I was laughing and crying. My kids were like, what's wrong with you? I had to tell them why. And so I just wanted to share with you guys, if you haven't been to the meal or if you haven't had a chance to even come help, you don't have to bring food. The food will always be there. It always shows up. But come eat and come get to know the people in this community and come hang out and have a good time with us. I promise you it will be a fun and an amazing night that you won't forget. Okay, so we still need lots of help, and you can sign up over there. but thank you, and I'm just thank you for everyone's support and keeping these meals going. It's quite an undertaking for such a long time. So thank you.
So the meals are pretty remarkable. Just it gives you such a chance to meet people and share your testimony and learn more about their story. And so it is just a great thing. We appreciate everything Nicole and everybody else that has helped with that have done to make those possible. A few more announcements on here. And we've got a way you can support some of our missionaries from Cornerstone who are serving around the world. And we're doing a little bit of a fundraiser through these Christmas trees and wreaths. And today is the last day you can order those. So if you're interested in doing this, you can see Tori. Tori's back there. And you can see her after the service. She'll be over by the resource table, and she can get you the information on that. And you can sign up for either a tree or a wreath. And these are really, really nice. So you can look at those, and that's just a great way to support our missionaries. And also, we've got another way we open up the church to the community is after the Christmas parade, and that is coming up very quickly. Can you believe it's almost December, that this is Thanksgiving week? Man, there's just so many things going on. So the information's in here. You can contact Terry, who's in the back as well, if you want to help with that, or Linda, and they'll get you the information. And then finally, tonight, there's a poster up. It's not in your bulletins. There is a community Thanksgiving service. It's going to be at Cliffview Community Church at 6 o'clock. Our praise team is going to be doing several songs. They've asked me to do the message tonight for that. It's sponsored by the Ministerial Association. So that's going on tonight from 6 to probably 7:30 or so at Cliffview. So if you need something to do, you're looking around and want to just join us for worship, the Cliffview Choir is singing, our band's playing. I'll be speaking. Sam's doing some things as well. I'm from First Baptist, so it's going to be a great night of worship tonight. We invite you to come out and join us for that. So that's all the announcements I have this morning. Before we continue on in our worship service, we always just like to take a minute to pray. And this time of prayer is a time for us to kind of redirect our energy, our focus back on God where it needs to be. So would you join me in prayer this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can be here today. We're excited about being in your house and worshiping in this place. And may you just, Lord, may we open our hearts to hear your word and to hear more about your grace. And as we talk about forgiveness, as we talk about even pain and tragedy this morning, may we be able to see your love greater than anything else. And just your love will just be the focus of this morning. Lord, we thank you this morning. We praise you, and we lift up the name of Jesus Christ. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You could go ahead and stand with us as we continue to worship.
You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in the darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like you, God. There is no one like you, God.
Greater things to come, greater things to come.
people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are.
Psalm 34, verses 1 through 6. It says, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles.
Yeah.
God, we thank you that when we call, that you answer. I thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace and mercy. Thank you for loving us, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Glad you're here with us this morning. This has been a powerful series, Getting Past Your Past. And really what we've done as we've gone through this series, we focused on eliminating excuses. What's your excuse for really not following and living your life for Christ? What is it that's holding you back from doing and being who God has called you to be? The first week we talked about breaking the label. Sometimes those labels we have put on ourselves, and we've labeled ourselves, and whether it's regret or addict or whatever we have labeled ourselves with, it's held us back. And we said, I can't do that. I'm not good enough. I can't do that. You don't know my past. And so we've had to break through those labels and realize that we are forgiven and that we are a child of God, that for all those who believe that our sins have been cleansed and we can move forward in faith. And then last week we talked about how do you handle conflict, because life is full of conflict. And so what's our excuse? How do we take the first step to initiate restoration with other people? And so if you missed either of those services, I encourage you to go back and listen to them online. And what was interesting last week, I had a few questions. And the questions were all along the line, but you talk about initiating restoration and being reconciled, but you don't understand what happened to me. And there was a little bit of pushback from a few people saying, but you just don't understand. And that's why I love doing series, because this morning kind of takes us to the next step. When we have been hurt by something someone else has done, how do we forgive? How do we really move forward in life and not let that cripple us for our future? Because to get past our past, it really is about moving forward in faith and fulfilling the destiny, fulfilling our purpose that God has put us on this planet for. And so this morning, that's what I want to talk about. And we've got a special guest speaker here that's going to come up in just a few minutes and going to talk about how we forgive those who hurt us. Now, for some of you, you've been hurt bad in life. You've been wounded. Someone has lied to you, betrayed you. Whatever it is. And so you think, and I'll just tell you, it is tough, isn't it, when we start dealing with our past. It's a lot easier to run away from it. It's a lot easier to ignore it and to just forget about it sometimes. But we all know what happens when we try to forget. It seems like it just comes back up and cripples us and paralyzes us at the worst time. And so this morning, you know, what I want to do, I just want to talk about why in the world should I forgive someone who has hurt me or hurt someone I love? And I think there's two reasons, and two biblical reasons why we should. And the first reason we should forgive is because unforgiveness hurts me. Let's be honest. When we refuse to forgive, when we hold on to grudges, when we let bitterness take hold of us, it doesn't hurt the other person. It hurts us. Hebrews 12:15 says it this way. It says, "See to it that no one falls short of the grace the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and to defile many. And that's what that picture is, what happens to us when we refuse to forgive. A bitter root grows up, and it just continues to grow and take root in our life, and it colors, it reflects everything in our life. And so we've got to be careful to not let that happen. And so many of us are living with that root of bitterness. There's something that we have done, something that's been done to us, and we are upset, we are bitter, we are hurt, we are wounded. And because of that, we're not living in the joy of the Lord, and we're not really living for God. And I just, again, to move past our past, we have to deal with it. And here's what I want you to realize, is that forgiveness isn't about justice for what has been done. When you forgive somebody, it does not excuse them from the consequences of their action. But what forgiveness does is it frees you. I love this quote by Thomas Chalmers, who was a pastor years ago. And he said, "Unforgiveness is the poison we drink, hoping another will die." Think about that. I mean, it's the poison we drink. When we refuse to forgive, it poisons us. It's that bitter root that comes up. And so that bitterness, that anger, that depression, that hopelessness, those can all result when we refuse to forgive. The second reason this morning why we need to forgive is because I'll need forgiveness again. We need forgiveness, right? None of us are perfect. We've all continually messed up. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all are in need of forgiveness. No one is perfect. And so we need to realize, Matthew 6 says it this way. In Matthew 6, it says, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." And so how do you forgive? I mean, how do you do it? Well, we have to realize that we have been forgiven. You know, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Everything in our past, when we come to Christ in faith, you're saved, right, by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. It's what we just talked about as we went through the book of Galatians. And as we put our faith in Christ, we are saved. Our slate is wiped clean. We are forgiven. And because we have been forgiven, Christ expects us to go and forgive others. And so I love how Colossians 3 says it. It says, bear with each other. It's not going to be easy. This is tough. This is real life. And we've got to bear with each other. We've got to forgive one another. And if any of you has a grievance against someone, what do? We forgive as the Lord forgave you. And so that really kind of sets the stage for what you're going to hear this morning. If you ask, why should I forgive? Well, it's really not about the other person. It's about my heart. It's about my life. It's about my walk with Christ. And so this morning, I want to introduce to you a young lady who has a remarkable testimony, a remarkable story. And it all started back, you know, and she'll share with you about what happened this year, just all within the past year, and how her life has kind of been turned upside down. She's a young lady that's very close to many in our church. She's roommates with Cassidy Williams, who goes here at Virginia Tech. And she is good friends with many in our church. And we've known Jessica a long time. But Jessica Vass has a story this morning, and I just want us to, I'm just going to turn the service over to her this morning. And you can come on up, Jessica. I've got a microphone for you here. And would you guys just welcome Jessica this morning?
Mark 10:27. And Jesus, looking upon them, said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." Good morning. My name is Jessica Vass, and I'm a 19-year-old orphan of sin, but I'm also a child of the King. And that has been my verse that I have lived with this entire year. To start off, I'll give you a little bit of my history. Many of you know my family. And because we live not far from here, and I know a lot of people in this church. Well, I come from a good Christian home. We play with the Blue Ridge Panthers. My mom helped start that basketball team. My dad was a farmer in Carroll County, never met a stranger in his life, and has more cousins than I can count. And he was somebody that was just loved by everybody, was the Panthers' absolute biggest fan. And then we come to my mom, who was a high school math teacher, who stayed at home to homeschool me and my brother. She started the Carroll County 4-H Livestock Club, which she led with a high school math degree, no ag education, to place fifth in the nation last year in the Quiz Bowl contest. So here are two extraordinary parents and an amazing family. Honestly, I've heard my entire life how my friends wanted to be in my family because we had it all. We lived on the farm. We worked together. We played together. We laughed together. My family is a big jokester family. So we laughed about everything. And we were together all the time. We would go to ball games together. We was in church. I mean, I can count the days that we missed church probably on one hand my entire life. So we were a good Christian family. Dad was the usher. My mom was a Sunday school teacher, and whose favorite week of the year was Bible school, I might add. And we had it all. We were an amazing family, but that I took for granted so much. When you look around at what a lot of other people are going through, you often don't realize just everything that you have. And I had a lot, and I wasn't as thankful for it as I should have been. For reasons that I won't go into, my parents slowly fell apart. And the Friday before Christmas of last year, my mother left my dad. And while they were apart, me and my brother moved back and forth, my brother eventually staying with my father, and I eventually moved in with my dad, my mom. And my dad was simply consumed by grief. And working through his problems, he could just barely function. My mom and I focused on trying to make a new life and to move forward. And that's where my world was. As you can imagine, growing up in a family that absolutely did not believe in divorce, standing saying that your parents are separated in front of people was a little bit complicated to explain. And a lot of people didn't understand it. Well, honestly, neither did I. I had no idea how we had got there. But through all of that, God taught me a lot. For one, God taught me a lot about judgment. If you don't know what's going on in a situation, if you're not in that situation, you can't judge it. I learned so much. I realized that when the Christian family that looks perfect and the parents are suddenly separated, you just don't judge and say you guys are crazy. Because there's something going on. God taught me a lot about that this year. Well, time flash forward and February 16th of this past year. Me and my boyfriend went down the mountain to church like normal, with the plans to meet my mother after church on top of the mountain to go see my grandpa. Well, after church, me and my boyfriend went to the meeting spot and sit and waited. My dad hadn't come to church that morning, which I was just hoping that maybe he was just having a bad day and was going to stay at home. Well, I called the house to ask him if he was okay, and he wasn't there. That worried me a lot. Well, me and Daniel sit in the truck waiting for my mom to come for 2.5 hours. We were trying to be nice and calm, and my biggest hope was that my parents had somehow got together and were arguing. I was like, okay, mom's going to be mad, but it's all going to be okay. Or maybe they were sitting down with the preacher talking and I was going to have my life back. I was trying to be optimistic. Well, we sit there from 12:30 until 3. And at 3 o'clock, my grandma, who me and my mom have been living with, finally returned my call. And I said, "Nana, is Mom mad?" She says, "What do you mean?" I says, "Mom never showed up." And my grandma then tells me that she saw my mom pull out of church at 12:30 that day. So my grandma takes off for the hospitals, and I take off for my house. I look through my house, and I can't find any sign of my parents or that they've been there. Me and my boyfriend go down to some land that we own. And as we top the hill, there in a hay tunnel that we own in the hay barn, I saw my mom's car sitting there. Talk about your heart dropping. We got out. We searched through the car. I couldn't find anything. My mom's purse was there. And that's when I looked up and saw my father's body laying on the hay bale. He had gotten my mom's car, had killed her down the road, and then drove to this location and killed himself. And as I stood there, my head spinning, here was my father, the man who had rocked me as a child, the man who had loved and took care of me in all my times of being sick, holding the gun that had just killed my mom. How could that have happened? I remember standing there that day, and my head was spinning. My next thought was to find my brother. Thank goodness he was safe. He was playing basketball. So we call the cops, and they get there and tell me that they had found my mom's body. And then I got the task of going out and telling both of my mom's parents that she was dead and my dad was dead. Then I got to see my brother, and I got to finish confronting the rest of our friends and family and explaining to them that my father's actions had just completely destroyed what I had left of my family. That day was the worst day of my life, by far. But there was so much stuff looking back that day. So many more things that went wrong. God that day, a lot of people, first question they ask, where was God in that? Where was he? He just let my mom get killed. He just took both of my parents from me and my 17-year-old brother. Where was he? Was he in that at all? Well, I know he was there because he kept me safe that day. He kept my brother safe. And he was holding my mom as she took her last breath. I know that he gave her comfort. And so after we went through the whole funeral process and tried to settle into our new normal life, the biggest next task is forgiving your dad. If you look around, if you see people going to trial or something, they say that their childhood was ruined. That's why they're there. That's their excuse for the situation they're in. Well, I refuse to let what my dad did ruin the rest of my life. If one person's actions in your life is going to predestine the rest of your life, you have a real problem. The only person that is responsible for your life is you. God created you, and what somebody else did does not make you who you are. The only difference between better and bitter is I. That one little letter. I. So, I could be bitter at the world, at God, at my parents, or I could choose to take my dad's actions and to make it better. Well, that's what I've been trying to do this year. I want to take what my father did and intended as bad and turning it into good. I've been faced with the task of forgiveness. Now, many ask me how and why I would even attempt to forgive my dad. He obviously does not deserve it. I mean, he killed my mom, flat out. He doesn't deserve my forgiveness. But then I must ask you this. Do we deserve God's? Dad may have pulled the trigger that ended my mom's life, but how many things have we done against God in our life? But yet God is faithful to forgive us every single day for so much stuff. I know I do not deserve God's forgiveness. I know I have doubted him this year. I mean, I don't deserve it. But he's still taking care of me, even if I don't deserve it. So the biggest thing about forgiveness is many people think it's a one-time deal. Well, I forgive my father the night before my mom's funeral. And I have forgiven him every single day since then. Forgiveness is not a one-time thing, at least not in a big situation like mine. I had to forgive my dad this morning when me and my brother was getting ready to go to church. And I just looked at him and realized that he's going to graduate high school this spring without a single parent there at his graduation party. That I'm going to graduate college one day without my parents there. That I'm hopefully going to get married and have kids and live out the rest of my life without parents there. If you think about that, I've got to forgive Dad every day. I'll have to forgive him again before today is over with. Because I'm having Thanksgiving with my grandma after this. And she's probably going to cry. And I'm going to have to forgive him again for what he's done to me and my family. So I want to challenge you guys to forgive people who have done bad things in your life. So, some other questions that people have asked me is, how have I still had faith in God through all of this? Well, do you guys remember the story about Elijah on the mountain praying for rain? The land was in drought, and he was up there praying and praying. He would pray, and he would send somebody to go look. And there was no rain. Well, he'd pray again and send somebody to look again. So my question, okay, how many of you would still be praying after the first time with no rain? Anybody think they'd still be praying? I'm not sure I would be. Okay, he prayed for 7 times. All right, even if you were still praying after the 7th time, would you still be looking for an answer at that point? But no, Elijah prayed for rain, and he knew it was coming. He didn't know when, but God is always on time. The 7th time of praying, the servant went and looked and said, "Behold, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand." Now, honestly, after 7 times of praying, when you saw the answer this big, how many of you would laugh and say, "Thanks a lot, God. That's pretty pathetic. Just forget it." Does that look big enough? Does that look like it's going to be enough rain to completely take care of your land? I probably would have laughed. But Elijah said, "Let's get off this mountain, for there's an abundant rain coming." Sometimes God's answer does not come in the time that we expect it to. Sure, after the first time of praying, Elijah probably wanted an answer so he could get down off the mountain and go about his business. But God wasn't ready to give him one yet. God's answer comes on his time. And then, the answer wasn't exactly what Elijah was looking for. Elijah was probably expecting a hurricane. And he got this. The answer to our prayers is not always what we're looking for. During my parents' separation, I prayed and prayed. I didn't have a clue what I was praying for. I mean, do you pray for your parents to get back together so you can have your happy little life? Do you pray for your mom to be happy and your dad's heart to be healed? I mean, what do you pray for? And God answered my prayers, but not in the way that I expected him to. Now, his answer was not my parents' death. That was my dad's actions. But God's answer was that I was going to be okay. That no matter what happened and what my dad did, that he was going to take care of me. God sent me my boyfriend 4 weeks, okay? 4 weeks before my parents died. I have my brother. I have my uncle. I have aunts. I have grandparents. I am still very, very blessed. So, one more little question. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do they? That is the million-dollar question. Well, I read a book, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? And one thing that I loved that was pointed out in that book was that they don't have to. God could have created us like robots and said, okay, you are going to be my servant and you're going to worship me. And we'd be like, okay. And we worship him. But because God gave us a free choice in this life, we had the choice to choose evil. That is the only way that God can give us free choice to choose him. Because that's what true love is about, is you choose to love. God gave us that choice. And in that choice, he gave us the opportunity to hurt other people. So God doesn't want the bad things to happen to the good people. But they happen to the good people because the good people get out of God's will. No matter what type of family you are in, you're not immune to sin. I thought my family was immune. And I had a slap through the face. The devil can get in your life at any point if you do not stay in God's word. If you are not constantly reading and praying and studying and working on your relationship with your spouse and with your family, the devil will get in. The devil wants to get into God's people because the only Bible that a lot of people is going to read is your life. And if he can make you look bad, then he has just made the Bible look corrupt to lots of people. So through this year, I have been working hard to forgive and not forget, but move on. And my dear friend, I have this dear friend, the sheriff of Carroll County, who said these words to me, which have stayed with me all year. Well, we were sitting there at lunch one day talking about everything that happened. He looked at me and he said, "Now what are you going to do?" And that has stuck in my head. I mean, that could be the plainest sentence ever, but that has stuck in my head this year. What are you going to do? No matter what has happened in your life, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to stay at home and be bitter and let that person's actions truly ruin your life as well as it ruined theirs? Or are you going to use it to fight? Are you going to use it for God's glory? Use what the devil has thrown at you to glorify God. I think that's sort of fun. To take what the devil gives you and say, ha ha. I like proving people wrong. It's fun. So what are you going to do with it? No matter what is in your life, you can use it for God's glory. You've just got to look around and find a way to use it. So I stand here before you today, an orphan of a murderer and a murder victim. But I stand before you with this challenge. Fact. That is the challenge. When somebody does something bad to you, follow fact. F is forgive. And like I said, you're going to have to forgive more than once. I have, and I'm still forgiving daily. But you need to forgive that person if you ever want to move forward with your life. A is accept. Accept what has happened. You can't change it. It's in the past. Just look at how you can use it to move forward. C is correct. Look at yourself. How can you correct what you have in your life? What flaws do you have in your life? Where are you not serving God like you should be? Where are you not using the talents he has given you for his glory? Where are you letting him down? Correct yourself. That's how you move forward, is making yourself a better person. And then T is trust. Trust that God is always going to be there for you. I want to close out with this one verse, okay? It's out of Psalms 46. I found this during the week of my parents' death, and it has carried me this year. And it goes right along with forgiveness. Psalms 46, 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. A very present help in trouble. That doesn't mean, present is not that he's going to be there. It's not future tense. It's not he's going to be there after it happened. Present is that he is there with you, walking through the flames. He is with you while the bad things happen. You just got to look for where he's touching in your life. So I challenge you, fact, forgive, accept, correct, and trust. And look at where God can work in your life. Thank you.
Wow. You know, I could get up here and talk about forgiveness and share a whole lot of stories, but what you just heard, wow, Jessica is wise beyond her years. I've heard a lot of stories from people who have struggled their whole life with actions and things that have been done to them. And what you just heard was, how do you move forward? How do you keep going when it looks like a hopeless situation? Yes, we live in a fallen and a broken world that is full of sin, but we have a God who is with us no matter what. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so this morning, I don't have anything to add to that. I just want to give us a chance to respond. How do you move forward? How do I move forward? And I think the question is there something in our life? Is there someone in our life? Is there a situation in our life that we need to extend forgiveness? What's our excuse? What's holding us back? I love how Jessica, she's used this experience instead of allowing her to become bitter, she's used it to make her better. And she's an incredible writer as well. And that's her blog up there, The Faith of Job Testimony. And she's been writing through this whole process this year. So I encourage you, man, I'll be honest, I've shed some tears this year just reading, and I know a lot were shed this morning as you listened to her story, just seeing how God has taken something so horrible, and yet we can still see his grace in the midst of it. So this morning, what I want you to do, you do have the communication cards in front of you. Maybe there's a prayer request. Maybe there's something that you need to do. Maybe you just need to talk or to pray. I'm going to be over to the side this morning, as always, as we close out in song. But I want you to respond. And for some of you, that means that this morning needs to be the morning that you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. Because I'll tell you this, that Jessica couldn't handle this on her own. She couldn't go through something like this without God and without Christ carrying her. And maybe you realize that for the first time, that you don't have Christ in your life, and this morning needs to be that morning where you put your faith and trust, you surrender your life to him. And it doesn't mean you won't have problems, but it means that when you go through problems, you have Christ with you. And so I'm going to ask that we all bow our heads in prayer this morning. Our praise team's going to come back up as we close. But I just want us to take a minute to ask ourselves, who do we need to forgive? What's the next step for us? What now? What do we do now? Where do we go from here? And for all of us, I hope whatever we choose, it takes us closer to Christ. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we just praise you this morning. We pray for Jessica and Jeffrey and her whole family, that you would just comfort them and give them strength and help them live each day in this forgiveness that we are talking about, to not be defined by an evil act. Lord, we just pray that for each person in this room, and I've heard so many stories of people who attend Cornerstone that are hurting, and maybe it was something their parents did. Maybe it's something that a spouse did, or even a child did, or just a family member or a friend, or something's been done in their life that has just become a defining moment. And I pray that they can look at that they can extend forgiveness, they could extend grace. And it doesn't mean that we forgive the consequences of actions. No, but it means that we move past it for our own good, because unforgiveness hurts us. Lord, I pray that you would give each of us the strength to honor you, to glorify God in everything we do, in each choice we make day by day. And I pray, if there's anybody here this morning that doesn't know Christ, if there's anybody here that has not yet surrendered their life, that they would confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord. That just means that you acknowledge that He is the Master, He is the Lord of your life. In Romans 10, it says if we confess with our mouth and then we believe in our heart, we believe the gospel message that Jesus loved you so much that He died on the cross to take your sin upon Himself, and so that you could receive forgiveness, you could receive grace, you could receive eternal life and a new purpose and a new mission in life. And the Bible is clear, if we do that, you will be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, we thank you this morning. And we just stand in awe of your power and your presence. It's in Jesus' name I pray. All God's people said, amen. You guys can stand. As always, I'm going to be over to the side. But let's just celebrate what God has done. Let's sing.
Let's pray. Father God, may your name be lifted high in how we forgive others. May you help us, Lord, if we're holding on to something in our past, that we just let it go and we give it to you. We thank you, God, for your presence in the bad times and the good times, Lord. Again, Lord, we just ask that you'd help us to forgive, to get past our past. And we thank you for the power to do that. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great week.